Tennessee just sounds perfect.
Whether that's live music, the crack of a campfire, or kids laughing on an adventure.
To start planning your trip, visit tnvacation.com.
Tennessee sounds perfect.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Ridiculous History is a production of iHeartRadio.
Skirt, welcome back to the show, Ridiculous Historians. Thank you, as always, so much for tuning in. This is part two of our continuing series on toy cars, which we promise is much more interesting and involved than a lot of people might assume. Let's give it up for the referee of our race, super producer, Mr. Max Williams.
What? Also, couldn't we argue that this is actually part four? Because, you know, we did two parts about the toy cars in Japan. So,
yes,
this is kind of thing. I kind of think it's more that Zach got really into toy cars for a little bit.
Our research associate, Dr. Z. Yeah.
We're nothing if not completists here on Ridiculous History. We do our best.
Mm-hmm. And you're
when
Noel.
The spirit moves us.
Yes, that's true. It is.
And you're Noel and I am Ben. And today we are picking up on the rivalry we discussed on Tuesday, which we kind of teased in part one. Here's what you need to know. So there's Hot Wheels, and their big rival is the Lesney Corporation, which is responsible for Matchbox cars. There's a really interesting story about how they came to be called Matchbox cars. Tune in for part one. We should also mention at the top another company that we didn't give airtime to earlier this week, and that is Johnny Lightning, which might be familiar to some of our toy car enthusiasts, but it's a bit of a deep cut nowadays, I'd say.
Yeah, I looked them up a little bit, and it does seem like they had a tie-in with Speed Racer, which was a really obviously popular cartoon, I believe, in the 60s, the early version, or it was called Clutch Cargo, or that whole... Well, there was Speed Racer and Clutch Cargo, where they had very similar animation styles, but it seems like we were starting to get into the realm of, like, TV and film tie-ins with these cars. But yeah, Johnny Lightning and Hot Wheels were kind of eating Matchbox's lunch, Matchbox being sort of the legacy, first-to-market toy car company that was really focused more on accuracy in their, you know, tiny recreations of classic cars. And then, as we talked about in part one, Hot Wheels kind of entered the chat and was less concerned with that, more into, like, little decals and creating cars that didn't exist, which proved to be the secret sauce because, you know, kids are a lot less interested as time goes on in period accurate recreations of Rolls Royces or Porsches or what have you, and a little more interested in like things that sort of test the boundaries of the imagination.
You know, it reminds me of the evolution that Lego has undergone, and I'm a huge, huge Lego fan, as I believe Same. You are as well. And a lot of Lego sets now are marketed toward adults, and I would argue that a lot of die-cast models are also marketed toward adult nostalgia. But right now, in our story, let's say it's kind of like the late 60s or so, and Lesney is in trouble. They're in kind of a tough spot because their sales are plummeting. They've got more competition in the market, you know, Hot Wheels, Johnny Lightning, et cetera. And then also over across the pond in the United Kingdom, there are more competitors coming into the fray. So Lesney responds pretty quickly. They release a new kind of line of cars they call the Superfast line. They're called Superfast because they have these very low friction wheels. They have some new vivid colors. And initially, collectors say it was kind of weird because the wheels were really narrow. They had to rework their dye, their manufacturing processes to accommodate wide tires. Remember, they got into the game entirely because, entirely because they were already a manufacturing force.
For sure. And as we also mentioned in part one, Hot Wheels' whole claim to fame were those Hot Wheels, baby. They moved really quickly. They used this leftover, wires from the failed never goes out of tune guitar experiment that went awry. And it allowed them to just have incredibly low friction for the wheels to turn incredibly fast. Not to mention their other hallmark was bright colors. So it seems that Matchbox is definitely trying to become a little bit more like Hot Wheels to keep up with the competition.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. That's a good observation. Matchbox continues expanding their line. They have the King Size and Speed King models. Those are cars and trucks in a larger scale. And then they tapped into the nostalgia that we foreshadowed mere minutes ago. They came out with the Matchbox models of yesteryear. This eventually, all told, became a series of 66 historic vehicles that were considered significant in some way. And it ended with that coronation coach that kicked off their biggest, I guess their biggest era of glory days. And we're getting a lot of this from bestride.com by Craig Fitzgerald. I think Craig would be a pal of ours. We haven't met, but a great article, Craig.
I mean, it makes sense, you know, stick with what you're good at. This is kind of what their whole deal was making these classic cars and having them look really accurate and having all the little parts die-cast correctly to appeal to more of a collector's market. So while maybe kids might not have been snatching these up, they were pricier. They were much more designed, like you said, with Lego, for adults. So from around 72 to 73, Hot Wheels kind of entered into a little bit of a sales decline of their own. In 73, specifically, Mattel switched from their kind of brighter house style called Spectra Flame, trademark, which sounds awesome, to something a little bit maybe more realistic, a little bit more of like a solid kind of matte enamel color. Because these were not very popular, the ones that were designed from 72 to 73, and they weren't reused, these cars from this era are particularly collectible.
Mm-hmm. And in the 1970s, mid-1970s, let's say, Johnny Lightning is already on the way out. They go bust in 71. Matchbox is once again becoming a force in the world market because it's modernizing its line. And I want to pause here, by the way, Noel, and give a big shout out to all three of us. Ridiculous Historians, you know, you're part of the family too. You deserve to be backstage. Both myself and Noel have continually struggled not to say, well, what was it, Matchbook?
Is that Matchbook?
Matchbook. Yeah. It's tough. It's tough.
Well, they're both things. There's a Matchbook and there's a Matchbox.
Right.
They are real things. And I feel like the Matchbook is more common.
It is. Right. It's more common in the usage of matches to this day.
Yeah, Matchbox is for the discriminating voluminist. Voluminist is the fancy word for someone who collects matchboxes and matchbooks. So big shout out to my girlfriend, Brandy, who taught me that word and knows way more about matches than I dare say either any of us.
Can I also point out something maybe we didn't quite discuss? The original Matchbox cars, you know, in their first, you know, kind of mass marketed line, which, as we mentioned before, they weren't making them in insane numbers at first. Their packaging actually resembled matchboxes. You can even see, like, you know, the side where you would strike a match. It's sort of like a brown, kind of brownish black color. It looks like to have some sort of fake grit on it. So they really were leaning into that whole matchbox thing.
Yeah, and they were leaning into it pretty well, you know?
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Me. Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
Today I'm going to give you some straightforward advice on how to deal with naughty kids. How about instead of timeouts, time ins? Time for you to start paying some bills. I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward. Inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a Gaginianaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
Okay, so Matchbox is amid a lot of different kind of corporate wars and initiatives. Right around the 1970s, Lesney begins to contact different collectors, and they send Lesney reps to these meetings and events. They're doing market research, which is very smart because now they have people who have bought in to the idea of these die-cast cars, and they want to figure out what their audience desires. And this leads them to introduce commercial vehicles in their Models of Yesteryear series. Obviously, a Model T, you got to start with that. They also have a Talbot. They also put these period accurate advertisements on these. Lipton tea, Coca-Cola. You're transported back in time when you're playing with one of these vehicles. It's a pretty smart move, I think.
Yeah, and there's a really cool article on a website that is devoted to the history of die-cast miniature cars called tutomini.com.br. And in the article, Matchbox History by Allison Barros, there's some excellent images of what we're talking about, you know, including the original designs that really do look a little bit kind of, you know, like old-timey and antiquated. And they sort of leaned back into their history with these Model Ts kind of sporting the classic Coca-Cola logo and Lipton's and all of that. So this whole product tie-in thing was really starting to kind of hit the zeitgeist. And they were leaning into that pretty hard. And it was it proved to be successful for them.
100% did. And they didn't stop there. They also started doing something that was fairly prescient. They would make bespoke limited edition models for different markets or in collaboration with different companies like Nestle or the famous department store Harrods. And these items were, again, because they were exclusive and they were limited, they were super desirable for both the companies that sponsored it and for, you know, civilian collectors. Imagine, it's a cool flex, right? If you go to meet the corporate heads over at Harrods. And one of the things in the swag bag is the custom Harrods car toy. That's a flex. And I think it's pretty cool. They also, Matchbox makes a lot of money from this. We should
That's like
out.
A department store, right?
That yeah, Harrods, still, the famous still department
around
store.
To
yeah.
this day in the mm-hmm. UK.
I've been. It's huge. The one in London that I went to. Huge.
I've heard tell. I've never stepped foot in one myself.
I was, oh, let me tell you. This is funny, though. You'll like this. The only reason I was there is because my suitcase broke in London. And I had to buy a suitcase. And I just asked someone, hey, do you know where I could buy a suitcase? And this guy literally pointed in the direction of Harrods and said, if they don't have it, London doesn't have it.
That should be their tagline. Another prescient thing that Lesney did was they really were trying to modernize their whole operation. So a guy named David Yeh came in and he renamed the company. He got rid of Lesney, renamed it Matchbox International Limited, and they actually decided to send their manufacturing overseas. You know, we always think of made in China and outsourcing manufacturing for stuff like this and toys in particular to places like China and Japan. They actually started with Hong Kong and Macau. But because there wasn't enough, this was still stuff that required some amount of machining skill, or fabricating skill. They could not find a pool of skilled enough workers in those countries. So they decided to outsource their foundry operations to China. And this created the very first toy company joint venture between Hong Kong and Shanghai. It was called Shanghai Universal Toys Co. Limited.
So let's get back to Matchbox. They expand further, and now they're all about merchandising. They realize that they have become what you would call nimble, right? They can expand across different platforms. They've made their deals with companies. They've heard what the audience wants. So now they're getting into other kinds of toys, dolls, games, action figures. The cars also get increasingly complex as manufacturing processes improve. You see cars that have mechanisms that the older cars didn't, like a lug on one of the wheels that can move parts like spinning fans or things like moving engines. Pretty cool stuff. They also have military vehicles. That was the Battle Kings line. They have model ships, and I've seen some of those, and those are pretty cool. If you want to look at those, go over to the Autopian, Theautopian. Theautopian.com, and check out the article, Matchbox Celebrates 70 Years of Making Tiny Cars with These Special Zinc Models by Mercedes Streeter. They're really well done. And if you are remotely into toy cars or know someone who is, this would be the fun part for you.
And I got a little ahead of myself earlier when I was talking about shipping the operations overseas, because that came as a result of some financial trouble that Matchbox or the Lesney Corporation was having, because the UK, economically speaking, was not doing well in the mid to late 70s. The Matchbox cars were selling just fine, but Lesney as a company was not doing well, and they ultimately went bankrupt. And this is in the early 80s, in 1982. So they actually sold their whole operation or most of their production line, some of their molds, other properties they had, to Universal Toys and that gentleman, David Yeh. And that's when things start getting shipped overseas and that whole Shanghai operation starts kicking.
Mm-hmm. And I want to stay on Tutomeni for a bit because I really like this source. It's comprehensive. It's a really cool website. They also explore how Hot Wheels had their own kind of ups and downs. During the 1980s, the Hot Ones wheels were introduced in 1981. They had painted hubs and they had thinner axles, the thinner axles primarily to give them more speed. In 1983, they released another line, the Real Riders. And I love how dramatic their toy line names are. These were the first Hot Wheels toys with rubber tires, and people liked them. People really liked them. But the problem was, this is a business and they weren't making enough money. So The line was halted in 1987 because it just cost so much to make those toys.
And here we see kind of some drama in the big car industry, you know, the regular sized ones, kind of bleeding in to problems with the miniature car world. General Motors is about to release their new Corvette, but are experiencing some technical issues on the production line. So the release of the Corvette is actually delayed. But Hot Wheels at this point was already designing the miniature version of it, and it actually ended up getting released before the GM car was officially released. This did not sit well with General Motors. You'd think they would have discussed this, but it maybe was an issue of production and they needed to get it out to recoup on, you know, the production costs. They were ready to go. So General Motors actually, but then again, oh, they canceled their whole contract with Mattel for them to license, you know, because these kinds of recreations are licensed if they're having official branding and all of that. You'd think that somebody at the toy company would have realized this was a bad move. Big picture.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And let's go back to Matchbox's exodus from the UK. The first batch of Matchbox vehicles made in China comes out in 1985. They're created in Macau, which is also famous for gambling. You could say Matchbox took a gamble, I suppose. And they do this for 5 years until 1990. And then between 1990 and 1992, they're produced under license by a different company, Yongtai Toys Company. And then they get bought by Tyco. And might date myself a bit here, folks, but I remember Tyco Toys growing up as the less expensive also ran toys in the Lego aisle. They made a lot of stuff, but they also had the not quite Lego.
A lot of dump trucks and things, right?
Mm-hmm. A lot of military stuff as well. Maybe we talk about Tyco for a little bit.
Absolutely. Tyco was based in New Jersey in a little city called Mount Laurel. They were originally focused on electric model trains, but as a lot of these companies ended up having to do, decided to pivot to other offerings, which was really crucial in finding success, you know, diversifying, which included their purchase of the Matchbox brand. But in 1997, Tyco Toys itself was acquired by, guess who? Mattel.
Ah, what
Tangled
a time.
Web. Yeah.
What a time. And this means that Matchbox and Hot Wheels, who were once bitter rivals, are now in the same family together. And strange bedfellows, right? It happens all the time at the heights of the corporate world, which is why so many things that appear to be different brands in your local grocery store are in fact owned by the same parent company. Mattel does something pretty brutal, pretty shark-like. They start to strip the brand of assets. They sell off the model kit division, and then they start downgrading the quality of the toys. These are known for being die-cast metal vehicles, and now they're being replaced by plastic models. And they're making these non-realistic vehicles that are generic brands so that they don't have to pay any kind of fee to a producer of a car. So they're it's like in that awesome show 30 Rock where they have Janis Joplin or whatever. Because
Jackie Jamp.
Yeah, Jackie, that's the one. Because they can't afford the rights to Janis Joplin's story. So these guys are cutting costs by making stuff that's kind of like, but not really, a copy of a genuine car.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Me. Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
Today I'm going to give you some straightforward advice on how to deal with naughty kids. How about instead of timeouts, time ins? Time for you to start paying some bills. I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward. Inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
Oh, the collectors hate this, by the way. They are absolutely aghast. Mattel says, oh, no, we hear you. We're going to make a few special releases. And they only make a few, and they only go out to the United States. So this is not enough for the Matchbox collectors.
No, but this is certainly probably one of the things that led to an uptick in the, you know, value of classic Matchbox cars. Because, I mean, they're, you know, obviously the original ones are going to retain their value no matter what. But this is a sea change for Matchbox, a dilution of the brand. They essentially bought it for the label and not for any of the actual, you know, quality or skill that went into making those cars and sort of the care and attention to detail.
100%. We also see that the collector said, this Hot Wheels line, what's happening to Hot Wheels? It's a crying shame. They're inferior. They're less attractive. And if you know any serious collectors of anything, you know they have profound feelings about this sort of stuff. And they said, what if Mattel is going to do to Matchbox what they did to Hot Wheels? And Mattel says, look, everybody, calm down. We hear you. These lines are going to produce their stuff independently. Matchbox is going to make more realistic vehicles. And the fantasy vehicles, the more anime stuff, that's going to always go to Hot Wheels.
Yeah, it makes sense. I mean, again, like focus on what the brands individually were known for in the first place. But as, you know, giant corporations are wont to do, in 2003, Mattel essentially went back on their word here, or, you know, did a little bit of pivoting of their own and created an entire line of Matchbox fantasy vehicles. That did not go over well once again, and they did not sell well. There was a backlash, and the line was very quickly canceled and pulled from shelves.
Oh, and the name wasn't that great. We got to say the name. These fantasy vehicles were called Ultra Heroes, which
okay.
Sounds kind of like lazy writing.
It does. It does.
I'm just being honest.
Yeah, but then, you know, they got the message again, Mattel, and decided to stick to what they had said and bring Matchbox back to their heyday of specifically, you know, producing realistic and more highly detailed, you know, recreations of classic cars.
And as we move on, we see that Mattel has controlled both brands on the market, and they've tried to, you know, differentiate them so that they can still make money off either consumer preference. And there are people who consider themselves specifically Matchbox collectors, some who say, I'm solely a Hot Wheels person. And then there are a lot of people who like both of them or like particular cars from both lines. And then because it's collecting and because there's some kind of rivalry, there are people who get at each other. You know, sometimes a fan of Matchbox will look down their nose at a fan of Hot Wheels, and they will have intense conversations about how one is the superior diecast toy car.
Mm-hmm.
Weird hill. It's a weird hill, but, you know, they are passionate, and I do respect passion.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, collectors are always going to, you know, have certain beefs about these sorts of things. Ben, there is another player in this game that we kind of haven't talked about that I think both of us being late 80s, early 90s kids, Micro Machines.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Max and I were talking about this off air. I love the Micro Machine guy because the main thing is how quickly he talks, and it seems off the cuff, but I know it's carefully scripted and it's even faster than this.
I do. That does kind of ring a bell. What I remember specifically, though, was the way they were featured in Home Alone in, like, I believe, 1990. He used all of his Micro Machines to create, like, a trap, one of those really sadistic traps, let's be honest, that kid, who is definitely a little psychopath, lays for the Wet Bandits. Who are bad people, don't get me wrong, but that kid is like, you know, Damien from The Omen. I mean, that is a troubled child.
Who knew that the Culkin brothers would make such a career out of portraying troubled children? Shout out to you, Roman Roy.
Oh, did you watch the latest episode, Ben?
Yeah. I've got it on in the background. I tune in and tune out to my favorite plot lines.
Well, I mean, there's a Roman Roy moment in this most recent penultimate episode of Succession that got me real good.
How are they going to wrap it up?
Performance. Oh, I think that it really feels like it's heading in a direction. I mean, it's very Shakespearean stuff.
Oh, but yeah. Sure.
I mean, good Lord. You know, I think Macaulay's doing his thing, playing in the Pizza Underground. You know, I don't know if he's doing that anymore, but for a while he had a band that played Velvet Underground kind of parody songs with pizza-fied lyrics. Wasn't very good, but I hope he's happy. He seems like he's kicking around, but man, Rory's a great actor. And yeah, definitely Kieran is absolutely killing it in Succession. But Micro Machines were, in fact, the top-selling cars during the tail end of the 80s and into the beginning of the 90s. But then they kind of went away themselves and left the old-school players to duke it out.
Yeah, they were cheap. If you look at the per-unit cost, if you're a parent who wants to get your kid a toy, but there are also a lot of them. They're very collectible, and that meant that kids were asking their parents to buy them a lot of Micro Machines, not just one. The manufacturers knew it. You could fit hundreds of these into a toy box. And I want to shout out the ads. John Moschita, he at the time in the late 80s, very beginning of the 90s, he is the fastest talking man in the world. Congratulations to you, John.
Good guy. He could do all those like disclaimers at the end of like pharmaceutical ads today. That's very funny. Yeah. But before the advent of digital editing where you could speed everything up. But Micro Machines were also really, really small. They were smaller than Matchbox cars or Hot Wheels. Hence the, you know, using them as a death trap for the Wet Bandits.
They also had play sets. There was even a line, I never had these, but there was a line of Micro Machines that had smaller cars inside of them, like that Decepticon in the Transformers toys, who is a boombox, and he's got a little bad guy inside of him that's a cassette tape. I always thought that was cool.
By the way, the company that created Micro Machines had the best name in the whole story, Galoob.
I remember Galoob, and I remember Galoob because of Micro Machines. And another big Galoob, I don't know why that sounds like weird soprano mobster lines, but another
big galoot,
another big
one letter different,
another big galoob was the infamous Game Genie, and video game hacks deserve an episode all their own. Perhaps that's for a future tale.
I never actually got it, but I subscribed to Nintendo Power for a while when I was a kid, and I remember that being a commercial on TV a lot, and they always had full page ads in Nintendo Power, but I never actually messed with it. It was like a cartridge that you'd stick into the system, and then you'd stick the other cartridge into that cartridge.
Yes.
And it would hack the game or give you cheats and stuff. I'm sure that the game companies didn't care for it particularly. Well,
the coolest part was it was also kind of glitchy. So sometimes you would find yourself in weird parts of the game that weren't supposed to happen. And the malfunctions were one of the most fun parts. Hasbro buys Galoob in 1998, and Galoob still exists today, but it's under the parent company, Hasbro.
And like we said, Hot Wheels then kind of regain its place at the top of the market with Matchbox sort of just tucked in there, you know, for the collectors. But I think the modern Matchbox cars don't have nearly the same cachet as the classic ones, you know, to collectors out there. So that's kind of the story, man.
That is the story. And if we want a moral if moral there shall be, then the moral of this story is the following. I want everyone to hear this in all caps, italics, you know, Comic Sans font. Save your toys. Save your toys. You never know how much they're going to be worth or whatever. And more importantly, save them so that your kids can play with them in the future. It's a truly cool thing. Thanks.
Or pay for their college.
Thanks, as always, to super producer Mr. Max Williams. Thanks to Alex Williams, who composed this banging track. Thanks to our research associate, Dr. Zach. Can't wait to see what his toy car collection looks like.
And you know what, Ben? Thanks to you as well. This has been an interesting ride on the loop-de-loop course of the ridiculous history life.
And thanks to you, Noel.
We'll see you next time, folks.
For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
This episode of Ridiculous History is brought to you by Avalon Waterways. Ben, are you in major need of a vacation right now?
Noel, you're a mind reader. I am, and aren't we all?
We are. While cruising remains popular, there's something big happening in the industry, and that is, my friend, smaller ships.
True story. The intimate ships of Avalon Waterways can go where the big ships can only dream, through winding passageways of rolling vineyards and castled hills, into the heart of timeless cities and storybook villages.
That sounds like a delight. See how Avalon's smaller ships promise greater discoveries, fewer people, and more of everything.
Limited time special offers await at avalonwaterways.com.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home, where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.